Hi, I'm Michael Healy, and this is Just One More, and this is literally Just One More. Here's a story that we couldn't fit into our props episode from the actor Jeffrey Pouncett.
Oh, God. So this has been fun but challenging these last few days, but yeah. Really fun to hear people's stories. And one of the prompts that I put out on Twitter, which was a props prompt, it became extremely popular. So lots and lots of people with stories about good stories about props, and that's what you've got, right? You've got a
prompt. Yeah, one sprang to mind immediately for me that I have told more than once, I guess, which is to me was just like an amazing example of how theater works sometimes, even when it's broken. Yeah. In a great way.
And it was Tarragon.
Yeah. It was Tarragon, yeah. So we were doing No Great Mischief at Tarragon when was that, 2006, I guess, maybe 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was an adaptation of the MacLeod novel. And it was, we workshopped it for a while, and we ended up landing in this place where it was sort of, storytelling, very kind of classic kind of Canadian storytelling theater, right? A kind of a black box space, beautifully designed to look like the ocean, the stars, with instruments hanging on the walls and like a few kitchen chairs sitting around, right?
Right.
So, and everybody playing a bunch of characters and, working through the story of the long epic story of this novel, which bounces around in time all over the place. So we're all playing a bunch of characters but with very minimal stuff, like Nancy Pock has a shawl that she throws over her shoulder at one point to be a different character.
And, right.
Judy Richardson has a sweater, and my thing was this little pair of wire-rimmed spectacles that, for me, I'd put on and I would become serious grandfather. I would become, Callum and Alex's grandfather, the wise patriarch, widowed patriarch of the family. And so these, these glasses, aside from my, 35-year-old attempt at playing an older man was what made me serious grandfather. So at one point in the running around between scenes, we're playing the Callum and Alex, David Fox and R.H. Thompson are playing the boys when they're young at school, and the rest of us are playing their classmates, and we're playing a game, we're playing tag, we're running around and doing something while the story's unfolding. And these wire rim spectacles, which when I wasn't using them, so they were handy, lived in the breast pocket of my flannel shirt, which I carefully put under my suspenders to keep them in that spot. Yes, the suspenders failed to do their job, and we were running around, and the wire rim spectacles flew out of my pocket during a performance and slid down the raked stage at the Tarragon all the way to the end and dropped off the lip of the stage in front of the audience, into the front of the front row of the audience, into the darkness. So they were, from my perspective, gone for the duration of the show. So I was puzzling this and assuming, I guess, that I would have to either, flip my fingers over in little circles and hold them in front of my face or do nothing to be serious grandfather when it came back to me. And we were about a scene away from him making a return and having this scene with David, with Foxy. And in the meantime, there was a scene where we built a boat. Basically, we took all these kitchen chairs and we assembled them into the shape of a boat, and we were rowing, all of us in the boat together with Fox playing Callum's ancestor, actually yelling and getting us to shore, our arrival from the boat in Cape Breton. Mm-hmm. So we're doing this scene where the boat is coming together, we're singing, Callum's yelling, and we're putting the chairs in place, and in the back of my head is still ticking away the question of what I'm going to do without these glasses.
Right.
And as we're doing it, in the corner of my eye, I see this woman in the front row of the audience bend over, and then her hand comes up to the edge of the stage, and there's a little like glint there when her hand comes up to the edge of the stage. And I think, are those my specs? And sure enough, I see Bob noticed them too. And so he, RH goes over, I see him walk over in that direction. And I'm like, okay, but we're setting up the chairs and my back is now sort of to the audience because we're rowing towards the audience in a way. So my back's to the audience. I'm sort of trying to peek and I don't know what's going on. And I see people kind of sliding out of their normal path and we're setting the chairs up and we're singing away and rowing. And then as we get to the end of the song and I'm just about to stand up and we're going to, you know, scene transition again into this next scene where Sirius grandfather starts to talk for a long time. Stephen Guy McGraw, who's sitting next to me, without looking at me, his hand comes across. He's still rowing with one hand. His other hand comes across and he deposits the glasses in my lap, like in the seconds before they have to go on my face. And I stand up and turn around and start talking. And the glasses had made this epic journey from the floor of the Tarragon back to the edge of the stage. They'd been picked up by Robert. They've been handed to Nancy or Jody and then passed to Mike Ross and then to Stephen Guy McGraw. And then he'd placed them in my lap. It was really like in the moment, even I was sort of
fantastic,
flabbergasted by the, by the kind of like, the just the awareness of the company, you know, that not just that this prop had fallen into the audience, but that we should maybe get it back, but that it sort of needed to get back to me in a certain amount of time.
That's right.
And that it wasn't just one person who picked it up and did it. It was like this, you know, relay that occurred, started by the woman in the front row who could have just looked and gone, oh, that's not going to be good.
Oh, terrible for those people.
Terrible for those people. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so that's a company. That's great.
It was a company. Yeah. I mean, that show really was a company too. Yeah. It was a very tight group, but that was, it was sort of, it went from being a disaster to not a huge disaster, you know, but like one of those little mini disasters in the middle of the show where you're not really quite sure how you're going to manage it, to being this really beautiful moment of like the play continuing to chug along. No one ever would have known, but underneath it, this little current of problem solving.
Right.
It was great. I love
A moment of group elan.
Yes. That's a very nice way to put it. Yeah, it was. It was good. I don't know if anybody else in the company remembers that, but I remember that show very clearly for that reason.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Thank you. That's great.
My pleasure.
I'm going to stop recording right now.